Tallahassee, Jay Revel here. Welcome to another edition of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Podcast. How about that? Chamber of Commerce Podcast. We're rolling with the punches here, folks. Thanks so much for
being
with
Hey There Tallahassee instead of Hey There Chamber Friends. Threw you off a little.
You know, we mix it up on occasion, folks. This is the Friday afternoon loosey-goosey edition of the podcast, recording here at Chamber HQ. We have got a wonderful guest with us today, folks. I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. Our good friend and Chamber board member, Richard Darabi, is with us. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jay. Very happy to be here.
We are delighted to have you with us. Richard, as I mentioned, is serving on our board of directors this year through his capacity as chair of our Access Tallahassee Advisory Council.
That's right.
Which is a very important cog in the chamber wheel here. A position I once held, and you see what happens. They sucked me in to come work here hosting podcasts and such. So
just setting the bar, trying to reach the J. Revel bar that was set many, many years ago.
We have been needing a civil engineer on our team.
Yeah,
there you go.
We have some things we need to work on. Parking lot floods.
You sound like a nonprofit or a church or a school.
Awesome. Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to. They're always looking
board
for some
members
volunteer
that can help us out.
I'm actually on one of those boards too. Folks, Richard, his day job is a project manager with the great firm Moore Bass Consultants here in town. Lovely engineer. Like I said, fix your parking lot for you if you need it, if the water's running in the wrong direction. But when he's not doing the day job, he's a great volunteer here with our organization, again, through Access Tallahassee. And if you don't know much about Access Tallahassee, that's one of the reasons we wanted to have Richard here. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of dive right into it, Richard. Why don't you just, if we've got a chamber member perhaps that's listening today and they're scratching their head right now wondering what Access Tallahassee is, how would you describe it?
Sure. Well, in brief, I would say that Access can be described as kind of the young professional side of the chamber. It's got a loose age barrier, I might say, or an age ceiling, roughly 40-ish. I'm pushing the very, very top of that. Anyone who knows me, I've got a almost full gray beard, so I'm definitely about to age out. But
we can take care of that with the face app.
There you go.
Young at heart is what counts.
Exactly. So for young professionals out there involved in business that want to get involved with chamber activities and other related things to expand their professional networks, it's the perfect opportunity to do that. In my case, Moore Bass has always been involved with chamber stuff, usually through Rick Moore, prior to that with Tom Osteen, two partners at our firm at Moore Bass Consulting. And I found when I started to get involved with Rick and I would show up at some chamber events, it seemed like everybody kind of knew each other except for me. And I just didn't kind of fit that age profile of a lot of the people that were showing up. And there were a few young folks there, but I didn't even know them. And Rick suggested to try out Access, and I started showing up at some of the Access events over time. And little by little, just grew my professional network through there. It was actually fairly quickly, and felt much more comfortable. I started showing up at chamber events, and I had some colleagues of mine that I'd met through Access who worked at various businesses, and it just made me much more comfortable to get involved. And in the meantime, growing my own professional network, leveraging some business relationships that help for revenue generation at the firm. So it really does cover a lot of bases that are all beneficial.
That's great. I mean, and I think that's a very good assessment of the program. It's there's a lot of different things that happen within Access that certainly you might say mirror the programming that we do, for the larger chamber. But for me, same thing. I got involved when I was 22, 23, kind of right out of college, trying to figure out sort of, the place in the world. And Access was a very approachable way to sort of get into the chamber world.
Absolutely.
We just had a great program earlier this week. If you're listening, it might be the prior week, folks.
Right, but, yeah. It was a power lunch we had, and it was actually downtown related. And we had three speakers, kind of covered the gamut of what the city's up to, prior planning and future planning for our downtown area. Had North American Properties to discuss their project near Cascades, and also had Elizabeth Emanuel, new CEO of the Downtown Improvement Authority, to talk about all the cool things going on downtown, all the programs. She's also filling your former role there at the Downtown Improvement Authority. So Jay's blazing the trail for a lot of young professionals.
I don't stay anywhere long, so there's a lot of that around town. Yeah.
I wasn't going to say it. No, but our program was awesome that day, and I think all of our members got to hear, in the city side, I'll throw a shout-out, was Wayne Tedder, assistant city manager. But just to hear the different perspectives just increases your awareness, and that's just one example of the many programs we do.
Yeah, and you know, from our world here, you know, we had a similar – program that was aimed at you know, probably, I guess you'd say, your more seasoned business professionals within Chamber World a couple of months ago. Great program, but that perspective that you get with a room full of young professionals is certainly very different. And again, it's a great opportunity for young professionals to sort of network together. Again, can you give me a quick, you know, 3-4 hitter rundown of the other programs that we do within Access?
Sure. So they actually appeal to the different ages within Access. Like you said, you joined at 22. I'm pushing, you know, 39, 40 this year. So we do typically 4 different programs along with some other community outreach and things that just kind of sprinkle in there. But starting with the youngest, our Business and Brews is basically, it's kind of like a happy hour. It is a happy hour. Always gets the youngest demographic there. So if you want to feel old, you go to the Business and Brews, and you're surrounded by a bunch of 20-somethings, young 20-somethings. But that's always a fun one.
Whippersnappers.
Yeah, a bunch of young whippersnappers. So the Business and Brews is a good one. We also do what we call the Young Professional Roundtable, the YP Roundtable, and it's a little more of an intimate thing where we'll have a speaker or speakers basically sitting at a table, rotating through a few tables with a table full of members, and there'll be topics related to personal finance, things related to their businesses, strategic volunteering, you know, just all kinds of awesome topics like that that provide a good lift, educational lift. We already mentioned the power lunches as well, which we do essentially quarterly. And how am I drawing a blank on our fourth one we do? Business and Brews, YP Roundtables, power lunches. I feel like there's
coffee
a fourth
connection.
One. Coffee and Connections. God, it's our monthly. It's the one we do the most. So monthly Coffee and Connections, you don't even need to be a member. It's every first Friday. It kind of jumps around at different locations, open to members and non-members. There is no program. You show up, you drink some coffee, you meet some people for about an hour, hour and a half, and you go back to work. It's really cool because it's on the same day, the first Friday of every month, so it's kind of predictable, and it is a really cool way to bring somebody new, see if they like it, hear about Access, and also through our sponsors. This last one we had was Big Brothers and Big Sisters was there. They had an event, or they had a table there with some information. They were able to garner 6 or 7 new volunteers that signed up at the coffee event. So a lot of kind of cross-pollination, synergies going on between businesses, nonprofits, and members, non-members, really cool thing.
Yeah, it is cool. A lot of different ways, folks. Again, if you're listening, if you're an employer and you've got young employees, think about, hey, this is a great way that I can get people plugged in maybe for the first time in our community. Great, easy way to do it. Wide variety of times and locations that can fit your, you know, busy schedule, your folks. And if you are a young professional and you've never come and engaged with Access, you really ought to give it a look, because you're going to find some people that are going through similar experiences you, great people to network with, and folks that you're going to maybe come up through your career with and develop great friendships. And it really is a great program. Shout out to the great Katie Orr on our team, who staffs Access, does a really, really tremendous job. So lots going on there.
I think the variety of ages, like you know, you say you're aging out, although I don't believe it. But I think the variety of ages and stages that you can kind of get in Access is one of its benefits, because you can kind of, you know, meet some of the people that are one step above connections to you that can kind of help guide you. Yeah. Is there anything out of any of those events or programs or people that you've met, kind of anecdotal stories that you could share of something that you've benefited from or enjoyed particularly?
Yeah, I've enjoyed meeting some of the young professionals who I think are going to be really the emerging leaders in our community. And you see them working at certain known businesses around town, and you can just tell that within 15 or 20 years, these are going to be the leaders in our community. They're going to be the catalysts for change. They're going to be the folks that are out there doing things that are to the benefit of everybody through their volunteer efforts, through their business efforts. And it's really cool just to see those. We'll throw a shout out to a few of our council members, Slayton Murray at Talcor. I don't know that I would have met him and gotten to know him as well as I have without his involvement, or both of our involvements through Access. Justin Cruz with Tally Mac Shack. He's on our council. It's amazing.
Captain Carbohydrate.
Yeah, young entrepreneur, kind of fattening us all up gleefully, which I love to indulge. So a big shout out to him. But really just meeting some of these folks has been one of the better benefits for me.
Sure. If you are willing to kind of switch gears a little bit, I know a little bit more about you because we've featured you in our Talent Lives Here series, yes. Which is kind of another benefit that we do with some of our younger professionals. But could you tell us a little bit more about your Tallahassee story and how you kind of found yourself where you are today?
Sure. I am born and raised in Tallahassee. Went to school here my whole life and moved away to go to Gainesville, go Gators. Got my engineering degree down in Gainesville. Wanted to move away, but not too far away because I had to come home to, you know, bring home the laundry and come get some help from mom, take home some home cooking. So a couple hours away was that perfect little mix. After finishing up school, I really did apply all over and I wanted to go work. I had all these, you know, high intentions to go work in big cities and go do different things. But Tallahassee has a way of kind of sucking you back in a good way. And with my family here, I have a sister who's married with three boys. Both my parents live here as well. So it was a really easy decision to come back and work. I was given a tremendous opportunity at a local engineering firm with Cliff Lamb and Associates. Worked with Cliff, learned the trade, and then the economic downturn happened. So it kind of shook up our industry from a land development standpoint. And a lot of people went into different lines of work. I stuck with engineering, did a little bit of vertical construction management as well, which was lasting, I guess, while people weren't developing land and residential subdivisions for a while. There was a lot of vertical commercial work going on. So got a whole different realm of experience doing that kind of work. And then the economy started ramping back up a few years later. And I found myself working with Moorbass doing land development consulting again. And that's what I've been doing since. And I love it. And really enjoy the opportunity that I have now to become much more involved in my community than I ever was back in the day. So I love giving it back to Tallahassee through volunteer efforts and through what we do at Moorbass as well.
Absolutely. We've gotten to know you particularly well this year as you serve on our board of directors, like Jay said, and also Access Council. Can you share with our listeners some of the projects that you're working on around town?
Sure. Yeah, we do a lot of fun projects. Some of the bigger ones we do, we help TMH with their group of consultants and with all the experts working on all the improvements on the TMH campus. They're a tremendous client of ours, the new tower with our current board chair, Mark O'Brien. Shout out to him, CEO at TMH. And so TMH is a great client of ours. We do a lot of Rick Carney's work, a lot Bannerman Crossing, Bannerman Road Widening, did a lot of those projects. FSU is a great client of ours, helping out with some master plan. We're on the team for the Arena District upcoming. That's going to be cool. I've personally worked on couple cool small postage projects downtown. Gulfwinds Credit Union is about to put up a little bank site on the corner of Call and Monroe. Capital City Consulting right across from City Hall. Ron LaFace and Nick Irossi working there right next to the new FBL building. And I also really enjoy my work that I do with both Holy Comforter and McClay. I help them out, and they're both just amazing schools. I feel like I'm going to have a really tough decision, and if I happen to have two kids, I may have to split them up and send them each to one to each school because they're just really forward-thinking clients. They do.
It's like, which one wants to offer the scholarship? The there you go. Scholarship?
I think it's the reverse. It's more like, which one are you going to pay more to send your kid there? No, but they're two great clients of ours, and they do really good work with some of their new STEAM buildings, and Holy Comforter's doing a new performing arts building that's going to be amazing. And yeah, just really cool stuff. And we got a lot of other, you know, multifamily sites, roadway projects, infrastructure projects. That's all in town. And then I'll throw also just a little bit of my out-of-town work. We do a lot of industrial park work. So working in Lake City, kind of up in middle Georgia, up in Dublin, Georgia, and down near Hawthorne, near Gainesville. Those are really cool projects because you get used to doing the housing projects and the, you know, the bank sites and the school sites. And then, so then when you sprinkle in a railroad project for the first time, those are fun to do. It's just something new and it's spurring economic development kind of on a macro scale. You're working in rural areas, you're creating jobs, providing a lift for the state of Florida. So it's really rewarding stuff to do that we love. And that's really what checks the box for me when I'm working with Moorbass.
You know, Richard, I'm sitting here as you're kind of going through that accounting of some of the projects you're working on here in town, and I recall both, you know, some different roles I've served in, and hearing things about, you know, how it, at times challenging it can be to do work in this community from a environmental standpoint, permitting standpoint. This is not, you know, if you're a local government official right now, this is not about to be a session to give you discomfort.
Jay's walking me out to the gallows.
But what I'm more curious of is, what are some of the, I mean, this is an interesting community, you know, the geography here, the landforms we have here, you know, we have a lot of, you know, sensitive lands here. Just what are some of the more interesting things that kind of maybe happen in this market that your average person may not be aware of? When they're driving by, they see the new mattress store, sure, or whatever going,
yeah,
in.
I would, I mean, honestly, it can be discussed a number of ways. And I would say one of the challenges we have that I think our local government does a great job with is trying to balance smart growth. And it comes from planning, long-term planning. And I'm going to tie this into an example, a negative example of the public outcry you see from clearing a lot that has a lot of oak trees on it, historic oak trees. So let's take the Cascades project, and I'm not throwing them under the bus at all. I love North American Properties, and I'm a very big proponent of that project. But when they went to clear their couple city blocks over there for the new project, North American Properties next to Cascades Park, a lot of public outcry about the oak trees that were going to come down. What people didn't realize is that those blocks were slated for development, seven-story development, since I want to say the late 90s or so. These downtown planning elements, we need them to create economic diversity in our downtown area and to provide a boost for everyone in our community, create a tax base. There's so many other benefits. And a lot of those projects that may clear cut in the downtown area or cut down larger trees in some of the other areas outside of downtown, they require plantings that compensate for all of the trees that you're taking down. So I'm not all about killing every tree out there, obviously, but when you have a roadway project near the Boynton Steel neighborhood that's getting the public pushback from cutting down a very large oak tree that people think we can just, or the city can just slide the road over and avoid that oak tree impact, they don't realize that roadway project includes 400 new trees being planted, and that the canopy coverage after this project is done is going to be increased by more than 25%.
Right.
So I think a lot of people in the public, that they, if they're not involved on the ground level, they may not realize a lot of the trade-offs that go on, and they are very fair, even weighted towards the environment in most all cases. No one's getting away with anything under the table. There is always a mitigating measure for every impact you make, and that could be a floodplain impact, a stormwater impact, a tree impact, a severe grades impact. There's everything you do is balanced by something else that you have to do in return.
Yeah,
and I think that's what the general public probably does.
No, I think that's a great summary of that. You know, it is a fascinating place. I mean, anytime you drive around, you go to a new development, I mean, odds are you're still going to see a lot of tree canopy coverage. You're still going to see wetlands preserved. You're still going, you know, this community does a good job of that. And
sure.
And there's a lot of things we hold near and dear. You know, I was reading a history of this community the other night, and it was written a couple of decades ago, but, you know, they were talking about, you know, the need to preserve, you know, canopy roads. And we still do. I mean, there's, you know, a city our size to have canopy roads running essentially through the heart of the urban area is,
sure,
a testament to what we, you know,
absolutely,
what we hold dear. And
well, people say they don't want a concrete jungle like a Tampa or some, yeah, areas of Jacksonville. We're never going to have a concrete jungle.
No.
I know the land development code. I can't place 14 consecutive parking spaces in a parking lot without a landscape island. I can't have a landscape island without two canopy trees in it. I have to have street trees on my frontage. I have to have perimeter buffers with, yeah, planted standards. I have to have a 10% urban forest area and a 40% landscaped area on every site that's not in the downtown. So if people would realize some of these hurdles that have to be overcome by developers, they may appreciate more of some of the cost that goes into these mitigating measures.
Yeah, and it's good for business, right?
It is, absolutely. It's good
it really
for everybody.
Is. I mean, but it's a fascinating time in Tallahassee. There's a lot of growth and change continuing to happen. What would be your take on the sort of state of all that these days?
I think we're in a kind of a state right now of change in a positive way. Like, I think with what is going on downtown, with some of the momentum we have with a lot of these properties redeveloping, you see a lot of commercial businesses downtown redeveloping. You see the Canopy project near Wilani getting developed. A lot of the we've gone away from the urban sprawl that was created, I guess, after the comp plan was done in the 90s, and you saw developing going out, which led to a lot of these residential neighborhoods and, let's say, the economic downturn in the mid 2000s, 2006, 7, 8s. And now you're not seeing urban sprawl. You're not seeing a lot of new neighborhoods out way off 90, way up Thomasville Road. You're seeing redevelopment internal to the city. And I think it's a really important time for us right now where when all of these areas that are currently developed, that are being redeveloped now, when they're originally developed, there wasn't a lot of land planning with all the trees and the landscaping and the plantings that we discussed earlier. So now that things are being redeveloped, they get held to a certain standard, and it's going to beautify our city, and we're going to see a very big change. And I guess it's perhaps best exemplified by Gain Street. If you took somebody who hadn't been in Tallahassee in 20 years and brought them back to Gain Street, they would be shocked to go from the warehouses and just the environmentally disturbed areas and all of the rundown stuff that was going on Gaines 20 years ago to now. It's amazing the change that's occurred. And you're going to see that going down Monroe Street, Orange Avenue, FAMU Way, going in all other directions of this city, slowly but surely. So I feel lucky to be involved in development at a time right now where you can help others shape what the future is going to look like for my kids and their kids and on through other generations.
That's a great segue to something that I'd like to talk to you a little bit about. What do you think, or what are some of the selling points of Tallahassee to kind of, we talk a lot about talent within the chamber and within Access to is, getting some of the bright minds at FSU to stay at FAMU to, use their talents here locally in Tallahassee, TCC, all those things. And also, getting people to move here. What are the selling points that you would use to draw in some of the young professionals?
Well, it would depend on the young professional and kind of what their motivation may
sure.
be. For me, involved with business and I have a sense of wanting to be secure in my job. I think there's tremendous job opportunity in Tallahassee. A lot of people don't realize that most of our local economy's GDP comes from private business and not state office. People think of Tallahassee as a big governmental city, and we do have tremendous assets in our governmental offices, both state and local, and they provide tremendous jobs and opportunities for people. But we have a lot of private businesses out there who don't get as much recognition. There is opportunity here to make a lot of money with a great job and have a cost of living far lower than what you would find in Atlanta or other cities nearby with these other complementary or similar opportunities from a job side. If you take away the whole job and business approach and you're trying to appeal somebody from an aesthetics or a natural resource, where it's just an amazing location to be so close to our natural resources. You're 30, 40 minutes away from the coast, directly south, St. Marks. You can go a little further down the panhandle towards the west, a little longer drive to find some white sand beaches, all kinds of lakes and springs, Wakulla Springs, fishing, everything you would want to do, Wasissa River, just really cool natural resources, hiking, Torreya State Park. There's so much cool stuff, and we're fairly centrally located, and we're lucky to have these environmental features that we do, that we work to preserve. And so with those would be probably two of my favorite selling points to speak to a young professional about. And I think our challenge is to get these young professionals that are in school here locally out of their radius, and to have them realize what's available to them in this area, and to get them outside of that little FSU or FAMU or TCC circle.
What do you want to tell us a little bit about your family and what you kind of personally enjoy about Tallahassee on the weekends?
Sure. So I'm married. I have a wonderful wife, Laura, and we're actually expecting. She's going to have a baby here in late October, so that'll be our first. We're excited about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We live here in Midtown. We enjoy getting out and about and doing walking. I used to live over here by Lafayette Park, and we used to always walk down to Cascades right when it got finished. So we really enjoy getting out and around town. We love the fine arts available to us. We go to a lot of programs and everything at Florida State, a lot of the plays, and a lot of cool things there. I love to eat. That's no surprise to anybody that can see me. So getting out and getting some good restaurants on the weekends are fun. And then she's an artist. She loves to paint. So we do the art shows, and we try to travel around a little bit and catch those. She gets involved with them. From both a buying and a selling perspective, a little more buying than selling these days. And then also love golfing, as Jay knows. So I get it when I can. I try to golf. It's been a little less because we've been really busy at work, grateful to be busy at work. But there was a time when I used to golf at least once a week, and it's just in the last 6 months or so, it's been tapering off. But looking forward to Chamber Conference. I'm going to be golfing there. Yeah. So
need living, to step living the good life, my friend.
Yeah, it is. It is. You got to set your priorities.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's what we tell people. Mm-hmm. If you're into the good life, this is a hell of a good place to be.
It's
a
great place for you.
It really is.
It's a great town, and if you are a young professional, lots of great ways here in our organization that you can learn about it. Richard, you've done a great job chairing Access Tallahassee. That organization is set for some good times ahead. And we're proud to have you on the board of directors. It's just been lovely having your input and feedback on things, and we can't wait to see what the future holds for you, for more bass, for Access, and certainly for your involvement in all things Chamber of Commerce.
Awesome. Well, I really much appreciate the opportunity, and once again, I'll give another shout out to Katie Orr. She makes working on the Access Council and helping there, she makes it very easy. So Katie and all the Chamber staff, you know, Sarah here with us today, and Jay and Sue, just make everything it's very easy to get involved, and once you can take that plunge, the momentum hits, and you will see a difference in your business for sure.
Well, that's the reason we come to work every day. You know, we want to try to make things as turnkey as possible for folks to get engaged and try to make our community better and try to grow their business. And we certainly appreciate you being on the show today and sharing some great insights with us. And congrats again on the little one coming soon.
Thank you.
I can speak from recent experience. That is a game changing thing for sure. But
I'll need some advice soon.
You can call my wife for that. I don't know if I can offer much other than, you know, hold on tight and enjoy the ride. But again, thanks for being on the show, Richard. We appreciate it, Richard DeRobbie, everyone. As always, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you every time you listen, share, tell someone. Leave a comment about the things that we're doing from a content perspective here at the Chamber. It means the world to us. So if you get a chance, we'd love for you to go on and leave us a nice review with whichever listening device you prefer. And as always, you can find us on all of the social media channels that are available. We are usually at TAL Chamber, T-A-L Chamber. And you can visit us online at www.talchamber.com. And until next time, I'm going to sign off now on behalf of my good friend and producer here, Sarah. We'll see you real soon. And thanks as always for tuning in. Talk to you soon.